Hallelujah. Come on, let's remain in that spirit of worship. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship our God. Hallelujah.
Start recording.
Is there anything or anyone greater than Him? Hallelujah. I was sitting there, standing there, and as they were ministering that song, "Let Every Other Name and Every Other Thing Pass Away," and I start thinking about how great our God is. And now we're in the season of the holiday. Thanksgiving is coming. It's around the corner. But in fact, it's next Thursday, or this Thursday coming. And how much we have to be thankful for. But I also wanted to share for those of you that are here, those of you that are watching, we want to welcome you in. But though you may be struggling with where you are, who you are, and where you've been, and what's going on in your life, but I want to say to you, if you'll let every other name pass away and receive the name of Jesus and lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and allow Him into your life, I believe your Thanksgiving will be much different, and you'll have something to be thankful for. That the joy of the Lord can be upon you and with you.
And they can't hear us talking.
And I start thinking, I want to think particularly to the young people. Particularly to the young people, and those of you that have been and know God and coming back into the relationship with God, allowing everything to pass away. I need y'all to stay focused. This is important right now. Don't get distracted at anything else. The Spirit of God is here and it's on my life right now. This is important to be said. That we, as a people of God, will allow everything else to pass away. Take that some of it. In fact, I'm thinking of come as you are.
So this is
on your life. In your life. All the other stuff has been dominating your life.
This is the intro video.
I ain't got to name it. You know what it is. Whatever those things are, has been in your life dominating them. If you'll let those things pass away.
Yes.
In fact, I'm telling you, come with them.
Second, 2 minutes. 1 minute, 40 minutes.
I'm receiving you in the love of Christ. That's how He's receiving us. Where He met me at. That day He came into my life.
So
I wasn't in
like
church.
A generic, like an AI.
And some of you that are watching are. And some of you that are like sitting in the audience. You say, you know, I've been struggling with this thing. But if you'll allow every other name to pass away and allow Him to rise up in your life and allow the joy of the Lord to take center place, I tell you, your life will be different. Your life will be different. Ask me how I know. That's why I was in tears. I started thinking, gotta let this stuff pass away. But too often we want to hold on to some stuff that just doesn't fit.
Because it's a different.
Some things that just doesn't fit. I'm bouncing.
Camera 2 is dark.
Some people that don't fit.
Two is dark.
And God wants you to let it go so that He can reign in your life. That He can lead in your life. I'm telling you, this is. I start thinking about all the things I have to be thankful for. I can tell you, if we get some stuff mixed up. You know, I was sitting there and we went a couple years ago. We was in Utah. You're thinking, what in the world are you talking about this for? We went on Thanksgiving week, we went to Utah. We up in the mountains, think we enjoying life, riding the horses in the mountains, just doing all this nice stuff, right? And had dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, in the hotel, this fancy dinner. It was the worst Thanksgiving I've ever had.
It's not.
And I don't mean to hurt my wife. I was glad to be with my wife, right? But I wasn't with family.
Or is it
I wasn't with people I love. I didn't have a meal that somebody poured over in love. It was just something they put together. And it was they called it the Thanksgiving dinner. But it was horrible. And I started thinking about this. So why am I talking? Because this Thanksgiving means something to me.
Hit it again, Rob.
I'm thankful for my children.
Hit the one to the right.
Thankful for
go
my
back,
wife.
Out of
I'm thankful for my mother and my Tap mother-in-law.
Again.
Thankful for the people that are in my life. I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful to see some people I haven't saw in a while. I'm thankful to see you today because it makes a difference. And this is what God is moving on my heart. Because now I understand why in all things be thankful. That's the message you put on my heart. And I'm prepared. Now, I don't usually try to compete with the holidays or minister a holiday message or anything like that. But this Thanksgiving and is important. And by the way, you know, this whole thing came into our country. It started with George Washington, and then Abraham Lincoln in 1863 made it a permanent holiday every Thursday. You know, that we're going on. But ultimately, to me, this is about God, not some president. This is about what God has called us. And we in America can be thankful. And we can celebrate this Thursday, but I should celebrate every day. And I can share this Sunday to say, I am thankful for all of you. You don't know how important it is your life means to me. You say, why I'm so mean for you? Because God told me you would come. God said that there would be people in my life, and I didn't know any of you. That's right. Not one of you, including my wife, until God sent him into my life in the church. This is the place that changed my life. The guy that I was, I don't see those people. But who I am today and what I have to be thankful for because of what God has done.
Then you would need a step there.
So what I want to do is
June, who would have ever known that sitting on the back porch having Bible study would morph into what God has called us into today. That was 25 years ago. 25 years ago we started. And I'm like, look at God. And I got to tell you, I'm grateful. I'm more grateful than ever before when I think about my life. Even with all the things, the struggles, the troubles, the trials, the tribulation, every one of them that I've been through, and I've been through a lot. I know y'all thought I was born with a silver spoon or gold one, for that matter. Right? No, it's been a battle. It's been a fight. But I now came to the conclusion the fight is worth it. Somebody shout hallelujah. This thing is worth fighting for. You know what? So you know what? I've been knocked down before, right? Got back up. Because I'm glad I hit my back and I was looking up. And that made me get up and go at it again. Glory to God.
There,
you know what? I even think back, you know, there was a toy. Just tell how old I was. It was called a rock and sock and robot. You know, the other one, and you'd sock and hit it, and it bounced down, but it'd come back up. Bounce down, and come back up. But the, you know, and that's, you know, and I want to be like that. To keep coming back. To get up again. Because God is great. Somebody shout hallelujah. I had to get that out. I'm telling you, that song like boom, hit me. And I was like, God, thank you. Because that's what worship should be about. Okay? Worship should be a place where it touches your heart. It touches your spirit. Amen. We will go ahead and dismiss Children's Church. As we continue on, I want you to this message, being thankful in all things. Amen? Or giving thanks in all things. And, you know, I started looking at Proverbs chapter 15.
There we go.
Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. I don't know, am I in the right place? Because I'm telling you, I feel something that God's saying and trying to do. And I'm telling you,
the
enemy has been attacking us. And particularly, we know exactly the place where it's happening at. In the mind. Okay, never help everybody here. All these things, we start talking about what we think, what we feel. Oh, come on. Guess I'm.
I think he's there. Turn church, and then we're gonna start.
And I'm gonna tell you something. So, because we're gonna defeat this thing, and you can defeat it, and it's been defeated. You just gotta walk in it. So now, that's why I could be talking about being giving thanks in all things. He said, giving thanks for some trouble.
That's right.
Oh, can I tell you something? Trouble, he said in Romans, all things work together for good to them that love him. In other words, there's some stuff because of my love. And, oh, you're right. Love is the answer to a lot of things. But my love for him is an answer for me. Because it will change the way I think, the way I feel, even in the midst of going through something. I had to look back over my life and I'm saying, God, you've been great to me. In spite of what the enemy has tried to do. In spite of what people have said. In spite of what people have done. But God, you have never let me down. According to your word, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. And so I'm saying today, and this is, he said, a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but a sorrowful heart of the spirit is crushed. And listen, just a couple verses later, at 15:15 in Proverbs, it says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Joy. You know, just having a joyful heart. I tell you, you know, there's some people, sometimes you see them, they just mean. They just nasty. And you be like, why? Oh, by the way, they some of them show up to church. They don't have them at the door. They're not healthy for you want business or who you want to grow. So I want to tell everybody, you know, today, being thankful in all things. And I'll share with you. I didn't ask anybody to come and stop doing anything. Here's what I'd like you to start doing. Put on the mind of Christ and start to receive his heart and just allow him to work on you where you are. Did you hear what I just said? I didn't ask anybody to stop anything. There are some things that you may no longer want to do and be a part of once you start getting this thing in you. all right. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, it'll make a difference. So listen. As we enter into this holiday season, and some people, this is a very difficult time. The holiday season is built up as a time of family and friends and giving and receiving gifts where everyone is supposed to be happy. But the truth is, not everyone is happy. The truth is, not everyone has a family and they feel loved. The truth is, not everyone has friends to invite them over for dinner, such as this holiday. And I think back, you know, my sister's not here anymore, but Sister Doreen was a part of my church for more than 20 years. But she lived here, and she came from another country. And her siblings, one that we have just met recently, one is in Canada, and the other is in Europe. So she and they were just as far apart as they are in the countries, was just as far apart they were in their real life. There was no connection. And relationship with family. So guess what? We became a family. I remember my wife and I, we said, you know, you can have and come over Thanksgiving with us. And that was good for a while until Elder came along. She liked Elder a little better. Then she,
you know,
Elder said, but Elder did the same exact thing and said, you're welcome at our house. And she welcomed her. So that was a sense of family. So what happened? So we brought somebody in, regardless whether she had natural family or not.
Right.
There was spiritual connection, right? So I'm going to share how important this is because that made her happy. And when I was telling you, everybody's not happy. And I got to find that out. Because even on her dying bed, she shared some things with me. Some regrets of things she wished she had. But sometimes we have a life that I want to say, I'm being thankful in all things. So I'm trying to help somebody because the life that you have is the life that God gave you.
That's right.
And I want you to be thankful in that because there's something to it that he wants you to do with it. So I need to encourage you to do that. Because she was it was so positive and so important. I was glad she was a part of my life. Right? I can say that. And then, you know, November 23rd, 21 years ago, my father left the earth. Right? So I can think back now. And as a father, all the things I'd like to say to him about paying thank you, Dad, for doing what you did, meaning I don't have that opportunity.
So
there are many people just like me don't have those people in there. But I got all of you. I got all my children. I got everything. I got a whole lot of other things. So why gripe about what I don't have? But why not be thankful for what I do have? Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, y'all. I'm trying to tell you something. The enemy wants us to focus on the wrong things. If you focus in on the wrong things, you will get what? And God is saying, no, think on these things. And I want to encourage you. So that's why I want to bring this up, because I'm saying, learn how to give thanks and all things. So I'm learning that I can have a feast in the midst of my enemies. I can invite them to the table. Why? Because I got a cheerful and a glad heart. Now I'm grateful that, you know what? I just want to say, God, I don't know how I can smile through some stuff.
I see the
some of y'all, you have no idea what I'm dealing with. And got to go through
the war.
I got a smile on my face. Because I'm trusting God.
Yeah. Right.
And I tell you what, at the end of the day, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. For his word is good. So I want to take y'all to the scripture. The problem is now. Let's go to Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. That's where I want to take this message from, giving thanks in all things today.
What?
4 to 9.
So I don't know. I have the King James and ESV up here with me. I'm gonna read it out of. What do you got? Is that the King James?
Yes.
Okay, we're gonna give it to you out of the King James so we can stay together. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. That's a boldness statement. He's saying rejoice in the Lord. And then he says it again, always. So there's a rejoicing in the Lord. And I want to share with you, I went there already, how the enemy wants you to stay bogged down, mad, in trouble, angry at the world, blaming people. You remember, the accuser of the brethren is the enemy. Be careful of accusing everybody and saying stuff. It ain't helpful. So listen, so he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And verse 6, here we go. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, by thanksgiving, and letting your request be known unto God. So, my God. So you understand that they've been ministering at the Bible study and really talking about anxiety and anxious and all this stuff that's going on, right? We've been really kind of paying attention to this because here in his word, God speaks on it and says, be anxious for nothing. And it has a lot to say about anxiety, which is affecting so many people. Because I told you, where is he playing at? So if I keep everybody anxious and keep them doing all these other things, I can keep them to not focus in on what they're supposed to be focused in on, who they're supposed to be focused in on. So I'm trying to help us to say here, listen, I want to encourage you. Today, this is a message that if you will receive it in your heart and walk away, let me share, no matter what you have or do not have, you will be happy. You, because the fact that you are alive and well and have another chance to breathe out of your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Stand on that. And if you do, I guarantee your life will start to change. Hallelujah. He says, listen, he says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known. In other words, you have a right to make a request unto God. You can ask him for something. Well, I don't know about you. I need a few things. Right? This thing ain't about stuff, but there's some stuff. There's some things I need. And I need his help to get it. So, thank you. I'm telling you, so this is what a cheerful heart and being thankful can do. It says, now I'm going to make my request, and I'm going to show you all how through the word in a minute. And it says, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses.
Oh.
Hold it. Do you see the word says surpasses? That means everything that goes above and beyond. Surpasses all understanding. Will guard your heart and mind. It will guard your heart and your mind. Because let me share with you. This controls this. These have to be protected. I found out there's a lot of things in life you can lose and be lost and can be stolen. But what is in here and in here cannot be taken unless you give it away. Y'all didn't hear me. Oh, Lord, why you want me to go there? So look, if Bobo ain't acting right, don't get your heart away. If Shaniqua ain't acting right, don't get your heart away. If you're going to give it to somebody, give it to God.
Why should I be Shaniqua? And Bobo.
Oh, Lord. My God. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, and a good report, if there be any virtue, if there is any report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, think on it. Verse 9, and that's going to conclude. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's Paul's message to the Philippians church, that he's speaking to them, and he's actually talking to, and I'll go on when he starts. He tells them to rejoice and be glad, because it starts out because there's two women that are having a disagreement. And in these two women having a disagreement, Paul is in prison writing this letter, which means their disagreement has reached the prison walls. How many know trouble travels fast? The news of trouble travels real fast, right? And in today's society, even travels faster. So listen, so he says, for some of us, and I said, these are lonely times, and we've been there, and I know a bit about this myself. So I shared about my own father and missing Sister Doreen. But yet, followers of Jesus, there is something to be grateful for. There is hope. There is light. There is joy. There is peace. And something it all comes down to is when we will allow him in. So if we look at Philippians 4 here in the first one, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. In this moment of his letter, the church of Philippi, we know that the letter was shared beyond that church. Paul is exhorting two women to agree in the Lord. We don't know what the conflict was between them, but clearly it was known more broadly than just between the two of them. Paul is in prison, Rome, when he pens this letter. This letter was likely read publicly to the church members. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine what that had been like being called out. And he in prison in Rome. And he's writing to the church of Philippi. Y'all not hear me. But the Holy Spirit had him do that. And he said, listen, he doesn't judge them, but he invites them to be in yoke fellowship. This true companion to help these women and commend the having labored in him side by side in the gospel. He's saying in an impressive, rejoice. And the emphasis of the repeating himself is rejoice. And I'm just reading this, I thought this was so important, because how many things that we have in life that we have conflict, not even maybe with somebody else, maybe with somebody in the church, maybe just in our life, that we have lost our peace. There's some people that show up around us, and all of a sudden, we want to leave. Because our peace and our joy has been stolen and robbed, because we've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten what we were called to do. as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to remind you, because see, I've come to the place, nobody's going to steal my joy and my peace no more. Oh, no, you know, I get to tell them my age, but you know, Flip Wilson used to say like this, the devil made me do it. No, nobody can make me do it. Nobody's going to steal my joy. Nobody's going to steal my joy because I'm in control of me. And by faith, I trust God. That if the Lord Jesus can come down and be with me and meet me where he met me at some 30 years ago and said, now allow me to be who I am today and do what I do today. I'm talking about a good and gracious God. No, y'all don't understand. You don't understand. I shouldn't be here. Somebody say, but God. See, he erased everything else. What the enemy had planned for me, God changed it. And I look back over my life now and I say, thank you, Lord. So I got something to be thankful for. Thank you, Lord. And I didn't even know that song. It said, let every other name pass away. But it was when I started letting, oh yeah, I can name a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, pass away. All that stuff. When it started to pass away, I started to change. Oh, you're not hearing me. When I started to change, oh, glory to God. And I started to learn, and I found out who I was in him. Glory to God. Now I got excited. And it changed my life. Glory to God. Oh, yeah. It wasn't instantaneous. It's a journey. And I'm still on it. Glory to God. I can encourage some people. All of y'all that sit here. I'll tell you, this trip is worth it. There's some trips that just not worth it. This trip's worth it. I'm going to encourage you. You get all the way out there and say, why am I here? Well, how about God got a plan for your life? Okay, I got to go a step further. Yeah, I was one of the guys that thought I had it all figured out. I had everything planned. I knew exactly who I was going to be, what I was going to do, how I was going to get there. Oh. But I was so wrong. Oh my God. I'm so far away from where God had me at. It's ridiculous.
But now,
and you know what? I love it because this can't be nobody but God. That's why I'm so thankful. And I know this is going to resonate with some of y'all that see it because you sit there saying, how did I get over here? And even, let me say with you, you're just like me.
I mean,
we try to walk away and do something else and go back.
But the
only
so
out
that
you don't fit. You don't fit. The enemy don't trust you because you didn't see too much. You didn't know too much. But
it's
you try. Just like me. Somebody would be there today.
Bucks.
Because
maybe
look what God has done. Look at how he's doing it. And so he said, and I just got to get through this word, but I'm excited because he said, listen, make it clear to you, tell you to meet you on this other side, be where you are. So listen, and I was, and as I'm penning this, you know, I've been really using the Message Bible a lot, and that's Eugene Peterson wrote this for 30 years to write this Bible. So this Bible is called, he doesn't call it a Bible, he calls it a conversation. And I need y'all to know something. We're living in the age and the time where people need to have a conversation. Nobody wants to be preached to by the these and the thous and thou art. That's why I told you, this ain't about don't do this, don't do that. I didn't ask anybody to stop doing anything. But I did ask you to start something. Now, if you'll put Christ on and put him in, there's some things that will stop. Because they won't fit no more. They don't make you thankful. Oh, they don't make you happy. Oh, I know what it's like to chase a lie. And a ghost. That will never, never prevail what it said it was.
That's right.
Because it's a lie. And it started here. I'm not talking about something I heard, y'all. I'm talking about something I know. So I want to encourage you. See, this pastor been someplace and done some things. But somebody say, but God save me out of them all. And And I want to encourage you today. Family is important. I know they didn't say and do everything right, but be thankful for them.
That's right. Amen.
I know they didn't give you everything you wanted, but be thankful for them.
Yes.
And by the way, I want to help somebody about mother and father too, by the way. I just shared this the other day. It's an honor, father and mother. It did not say because of what they did. It said honor, father and mother. Now that's what I tell you. So I had to be thankful to my father today when I wasn't thankful to him when he was alive. Okay, but now I understand he did what he knew. He did as much as he knew. So I'm trying to help y'all so we can get to know a little bit more. So we can be a little bit better.
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
But I can be thankful for what he did do. Hello, somebody. So I don't have to walk away and walk around telling I'm always miserable because of what my father didn't do. But I thank God for what my father did do. When he grabbed hold of my life, he turned it around, he changed me, and set me on solid ground. He changed it all around. I'm thankful. And he gave me a glimpse of
his
experience. He only did what he knew to do. But I placed him in your life so that you would learn and be a part of that. But then that was your season. Don't be mad at him. He said, oh yeah, do you remember? He gave his life to the Lord in your service. I sent you to get him saved. Although he birthed you. He said, that was me. You ought to be thankful. You see what I'm saying? So my father gave his life to the Lord at 40 years old. I was 40 in my life in service with me preaching. Now I'm preaching to my father and told him my father never told me he loved me. Oh, I shared it publicly. And he said, I love you. But my father grew up as a fighter and a boxer in Philadelphia. And so he only did what he knew. And so his thought was he had to be tough to his boys. Right? He couldn't show them love. He didn't understand they needed love too. Right? Which we know today. But he only did what he knew. And he only to give his life to the Lord. I'm now thankful. Because I was able to minister to my father. And his life changed. You know, I've never said that before. And so now I can be thankful for that. Because listen, as I'm reading this message and I'm looking at it, listen, he said in his translation in modern vernacular, he said put it in Philippians this way. He said, make it clear as you can to all of them you meet that you are on the side working with them and not against them. Help them to see that the master is about to arrive and how to show up. That's why my heart went out to the young people because, see, somebody told you that you're supposed to come to church and, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. And then you said, you know what, I ain't coming no more until I get this right. Well, I ain't coming at all because they made me feel uncomfortable. And I want to tell you that that's a lie. Come as you are. And if you don't come as you are, let God do whatever he got to take away. I'm going to love you just the way you are. Yep. Yep. You know what I'm talking about. But come. And if you'll keep coming, and you'll keep getting in this kind of atmosphere, you'll keep getting in this place of love, you'll keep getting in here in this kind of word, your life will guarantee it will change. Ask me how I know. It happened to me. I showed up. Boy, when I got born again, I showed up and the pastor was preaching and I told my sister, did you tell him about me? And he wasn't talking about me at all. He was talking about himself. It just sounded like my life. So some of y'all that can connect with, some of y'all know that can resonate with. Somebody say, but God. And he said, listen, he said, I want to make myself as clear as I possibly can. I want to be there with your side. I want to help them work through some things and against. So I want to help them to see the master. And he said, Then we will get the hearts of what Paul was saying in this section when he said rejoice. He was talking to these women that was having problems. But he said rejoice. And he said, I tell you again, rejoice. And there's a strong emphasis on that. And he's saying, listen. And as he says that, he said, then we'll get the hearts of what Paul was saying to the section of the letter. Perhaps you'll get to the place where this will sink in on your heart and it'll be on your heart, the canvas of it. Philippians 4:6 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So he gives us three parts, right? He says here, let your requests be known. As he goes on and he's standing and he said, through prayer and supplication, then let your requests be known. And so we know what prayer is, right? And by the way, we help somebody here, so you can help all of you that's out there. God is not interested in you with some big prayer, just, you know, oh gracious, magnificent, holy God. No, he's not interested in you saying that. Listen, why don't you just be real? Be real. Be you. Say, God, you know, Father, Dad, I need help. I'm struggling with this situation. Can you help me get this right in my life? My thoughts aren't right now. And so, God, I need your help. This, all that other stuff, he ain't interested in. I'm trying to help you by keeping it real. So somebody thought you needed to be up there. You needed to say, because you didn't hear some preacher who came up and he was so gracious and so anointed that they're, oh, magnificent, most holy, anointed God of the Father. Right? I can do that because I'm one of them. Right? I can make fun of them. But I'm sharing with you, he is not interested in that. And this is what keeps so many people away from doing it because they think that's what I got to do. And I'm sharing with you, he's asking you to be real with him, to have a conversation with him because he wants to meet you where you are. That's the God I'm talking about. That's the God of loving you. That's the God that cares about you. That's what I love about this whole, this walk. That we are not religious here at Faith Harvest. We are relational. This is about a relationship with a God. By the way, let me help you here. Genesis to Revelation. You want to know what the Bible is about? It's about a relationship with a God and his people. That's it. That's the whole Bible from the start to the finish is about a relationship of a God and his people to getting it right. So be thankful today. Be in this place and understand this. He said, listen, be anxious for nothing. And there was a movie called 7 Years in Tibet. And based on this, the life of this guy, Hare, the young, he said, and he met a young Dalai Lama who says, we have saying in Tibet, if a problem can be solved, there is no use worrying about it. So if it can't be solved, worry and won't do nothing. So, you know, but we spend so much time perplexed in our minds thinking about what good, what is, why good, how come. Even we get to this, can we be real?
I've been using this, so we'll.
God, why did you let this happen?
Gotcha.
All right, since none of y'all said it, I did. All right. God,
I was wondering where this came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it hurt. I don't like it.
I didn't know they had that. And then we have, I haven't been trying to get
this. Maybe some of y'all, you didn't hear like I heard. Yeah. He said, because you needed it.
Right.
And I said, why? He said, because you wasn't listening. Some of y'all can't handle that. You all, because you want to blame him, and it's not his fault. The question is, you wasn't listening.
Yeah.
But the fact that you're still here means he's still talking and he's still loving. So let me help you, which means you have not just get a second chance, you got another chance. Okay? Why? Because he's working on you. And he's going to tell you he's working with you. Somebody said, no, he's not going to give you your way. It don't work that way. But he will give you what's right. That's real love. Right? Oh, my goodness. I don't know about you, but I believe God's getting ready to do something. God's changing. God's changing some people who change some lives. Because when they get a hold of this thing and understand what I'm saying here, okay, this is going to change. This is going to revolutionize. This is what Jesus is revolutionary. Period. But we keep trying to stereotype him and just traditionalize him and not make him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and not one of us are the same. But there's some basic principles of being thankful and having the joy of the Lord in our life that can change each of our lives. Same thing, different circumstances. Whether you're in Philly, Wilmington, New York, New Jersey, Baltimore, it doesn't matter. He said, listen, how often do we really need to hear this advice? To jump into conclusions, he said, to not worry. Focus on, we focus on the worst possible outcomes. And we look again at Paul in this verse, in verse 6, and he's saying, no, focus in on those things which are true, lovely, pure. I start thinking about Jesus won, yet he had to go through the cross, the death, the burial. But it couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him down. It had to release him. And I said, that's the part we couldn't see. And we didn't know. And so same for us. Some of the trouble and the pain and the problem, didn't know that through the outcome of that, I would become the man I am today. The person I am today. And I got to tell you something, had you not been through nothing, you won't know nothing. No test, no testimony. No trial. How would I know my faith works if I never been through anything? I know this thing works now. I know it works now. I got proof it works. I know where I came from. I know where I've been. But I know how God delivered me out. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what I'm thankful for today. And so he said, listen, and Paul doesn't leave us just asking, tells us to be certain. Attitude. And I would say so. Attitude is with gratitude. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. That's what we need. I am grateful that God met me where I was. I am grateful that God brought me out. I am grateful and thankful that God changed my life. Thankful. So I want your request. So that's the request I'm making known. That God, I'm thankful. I'm going to be cheerful. I know I complained about some stuff, but forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, because I ain't know no better then. But now I do. Hallelujah. And he says, and he goes on, and I said, with verse 7 of Philippians, he said, he gives the promise in the passage. He said, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. This is what you need. I got to tell y'all something. The peace of God that passes all understanding. In other words, when it doesn't make sense, I got peace. When you've been in some trouble, something deep, and you and God. Now I'm getting starting to stutter. Because I can remember some of the things. And I'm trying to figure out, Lord, how I'm going to get out of this. But he says, I can make a way out of no way. I can make a river in a desert. And I'm thinking, you can. And he said, well, God, I'm thanking you. I'm believing you. And I need it. And then I watched it happen. And I was like, God, your word is true. Your word is good. And he said, I can make a way out of no way. But he said, I need you to remain. I'm trying to help somebody. Just simple things of being thankful, being grateful. Right? I didn't tell anybody that every day of my life was perfect. But what I did tell you is I'm thankful for God having to be a part of my life and in my life. So no matter what I go through, I believe I'm coming out.
That's right. There you go.
By faith, I believe that's going to happen. No matter what I walk through. Listen, I get got hit, boom, bang. But I'm coming out. Right? He said, well, how? By the grace of God. My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, I got to trust his grace is enough and in place for my life. Y'all got to hear me. Listen to this. Listen. He said, peace that surpasses all understanding.
Where's it?
Guess what? Here now, here come. Guard your heart and mind. This is how you guard it. You're going to have, so you got to protect it. He said, peace. A peace that doesn't make sense. That means surpasses understanding. A peace that's going to guard your heart and your mind. Because, see, when you're anxious and you're not at peace, your heart is vulnerable. Oh, let me help some of y'all. You got this thing. So I'm telling you, the enemy been setting us up. So we keep getting into those places where we shouldn't be, which opens a door for him to get in. But you bring peace and you come with thanksgiving and joy, even in the midst of trouble, then he got no interest way because the heart and the mind are protected, which is where he needs to get at in order to make a difference in your life. The Bible says, be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If your mind is not protected by the peace of God and the love of God and knowing that God can do it by faith, then you will allow anything else in. I've made a decision in my life just to trust God. I stopped. Now, y'all got to know something. I'm an analytical person. I need to know 1 + 2 = 3. And how did I get there? So I need 3 lines. 1, 2, 3. So I can see, oh, that one right there plus these 2 more lines make 3. I need to see life like that, right? That's because that's how I got a person I am, analytical, right? I need to see things in order. He told me stop trying to figure it out. Trust him by faith. And he has now given me that ability to believe and to walk with him. I want to share with you. I personally believe, and I'm saying this to everybody that's in this audience and everybody that's watching me. I believe that the greatest thing that is under attack in our nation, in our world, and in our lives is our faith. I did not say faith in other things. My faith in Jesus Christ. It is faith that is the most important thing that I believe that exists in the Bible. If I can hinder your faith, you will never walk with God. If I can hinder your faith, you will never believe God. I'm going to prove it. Y'all remember? So I'm going to tell you something. You're being thankful. You remember something? Y'all remember Peter? He's in the boat. God gave him a word. I'm going to help some of y'all. Some of y'all have been given a word. And you ain't get there yet. And you complaining that you ain't get there, but he said, I'll meet you on the other side. If he said it, he can't lie. He meant it. But Peter is in the boat, and a storm arose. And the storm was raging up, and they all got scared. And Peter, here come Jesus. He said, I'll meet you on the other side. Just like here come Jesus. Now I need everybody to understand something. He did not come after the storm. He came in the storm. He just told us about a peace that passed all this. He walking in the midst of a storm, even though it's storming. I need y'all to see something here. I said, you can only do that if you got a peace. And he was demonstrating the peace that he's talking about. So he comes in that peace and he's walking in the midst of the storm. And Peter sees him. And he hollers out to him. He sees him, says, hold it. He ain't in no boat. He walking on the water. He said, hold it. I want that.
Yeah, definitely.
He said, Jesus, bid me to come.
So what we'll do is,
I'm going to help y'all. Jesus gave him one word. Come.
Hallelujah.
Peter steps out the boat.
So this one
starts walking on water. Hold it. He's focused in on Jesus.
And that we can download that.
Continues to walk. So he's defying nature. He's defying gravity. He's defying everything we know. Right? But he's obedient to God. And his obedience is better than a sacrifice. So when he gets to walking with God and talking with God, he's doing what God said so he can do something supernatural. Now I gotta tell you something. So that all worked. It all worked until he took his focus off of what called him out. And so, so I'll share something with you. Think on those things which are lovely. I'm helping you with the word. Think on those things which are true. Think on those things which are pure. In other words, keep your eye on me because I represent all of them. And if I'm that, and you see me as that, I can be that. But you got to trust me with that in your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. In other words, you got to trust me. So he said, so Peter, now listen, I got to get you because people beat him up. People beat him up, and I want to tell you, I think he did a great job, but he missed it for a minute because he took his eye off of Jesus. And he start looking at the storm. I'm going to help somebody to feel like you can ring a wonder. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for that prayer. That's it. Somebody, let me share with you. Put your focus on Jesus. You can't go under.
There you go. There you go.
Houston, hold it. What kind of statement is that? You cannot go under with Jesus at the helm. So Peter puts his focus. He puts his focus on the storm. For a minute. All the verses say he started to sink.
Table right next to it.
Somebody said he was sunk.
You're talking about,
right? They all have. Right, but I'm not even sure his ankles got under the water.
That's what I was thinking.
You know why? He waited real long.
That's right.
To feel it, to realize how he got
there.
So when you realize and know how you got the way you need to go, not forget to watch you to keep it going. He says to him, Jesus, save me.
Which one?
Oh my God.
Oh, that's right next to
you. I love it. I love it. He says, Jesus, save me. And Jesus, listen. All of a sudden,
be better
they tell me that
here.
He sticks his hand out and Jesus touches his hand and the two of them start to walk back to where they're going. Because hold it. All I can say is faith, fail me not. He started walking back to the boat. He takes him back to the place. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. I got to help you out something. He takes him back to the place where he was comfortable. Some of y'all, he took him back to a place where he had comfort to reestablish his faith in who he is. But he let him know, I took you there. Your hand was in my hand. And because your hand was in my hand, together we got that. Now I need y'all to know something. The storm is still going on. Now, as he gets in the boat, with everybody else, all those other faces, they're scared, right? He looks around and looks at the storm and says, storm, be still. He speaks to the storm. And the storm ceases. Because the power of God.
Because this used to be against the law.
Church, family, we got something to be thankful for. I'm talking about serving the Most High God. I'm not talking about serving somebody I heard about. I'm not talking about somebody that I don't know. I'm talking about somebody I have a relationship with. And if he said it and he can't lie, then it has to pertain to my life. Then I need to figure out how it fits. He said, be thankful. And let prayer and supplication be loved. And he said, make your request be known. So I got to tell y'all something. So you're going to ask me, I'm going to tell you Pastor Ray's favorite piece. I ask God for favor. Yep. I ask God, it's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I ask him I said, grant me the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of you. If I know you, I'm not hearing. If my faith has to be in Christ, I need to know him. So I asked him for the spirit of wisdom. I got to tell you something. Y'all didn't see that before? The man had a request. God came and asked him, what do you want from me? And he didn't ask for no money. He didn't ask for long life. He said, give me wisdom. Now I got to tell y'all something. Money came with it. Money comes with wisdom. Long life came. Because it comes with wisdom. Everything that y'all we want in life comes with wisdom. But it was not the wisdom of man. It was the wisdom of God. God, we have something to be thankful for. We've been looking for the wrong things. You know that thing in the wrong place and looking for all the wrong places looking for the thing? You know how I was saying, I can't get it out right now. But listen, but if you get in the right place, looking for the right thing, and obtain it. Folks, say that again. All things are possible. So I said, if you're looking for it and you find it, by the way, I heard in the scripture, he said, knock.
For the cameras?
And the door will be open. See, there's one thing, I don't know about you, but, you know, I got one of the ring bells, and the bells with the camera on it. And I saw a guy knock. And he knocked, and I said, hello, but I wasn't there. So I couldn't let him in. And the door didn't open. Now, I do have the ability to open the door. But it didn't, because I wasn't there.
I don't know.
So my point is saying that there was something about when he said, knock, and the door will be open, which means he's present. That's really what I wanted to get at. It's not an absentee God. He's not a God saying that I need you to come with something. I'm not going
to
be there.
This has no wires to
it? What's the next question? I need you to do this and this and this, but I'm not going to walk with you. So I'm helping somebody here too. Because he said, when you're thankful, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, I'm going to walk with you. You're going to have to just trust me. You have to trust me. That's a hand holding, you know. And it brought me back. My grandmother brought me that poem. And, you know, the old school, and hung on my wall. And it was a little plastic frame, a little paper card, you know. And Grandma, I love you. I'm not talking about that. But the thing said, it was the footprint in the sand. And I was like, you know, we was walking together at some point. And at some point, there's only one set of footprints. And of course, me being the guy that I was growing up in Philly, I thought it was me. I'm going to help you, y'all. Like, y'all thought it was you. And he was like, nah, I'm sorry. He said, check the footprint out. This is the conversation he had with me. He said, that don't look like no size 9. He said, that wasn't your footprint. He said, that was mine. Because I was carrying you. You couldn't make it. You couldn't go another step. But he said, I love you so much, I took you the rest of the way. But so now that I need you to rejuvenate to get to where you need to go. But now I need you to take other people there. Tell them what it is. Tell them how I got you there. Tell them about what it is. And so I realized I discovered who I am. And I discovered what I'm supposed to be doing. That's why I love this.
That's right.
I love this.
So.
And I'm telling you, I love this. I love this. See these young brothers in here, I'm saying, this is what changed my life.
Yes.
No, the streets didn't. They were the ones willing to take me out.
That's right.
But it was this that changed it.
So.
He took me to another place. All the things I desired and wanted in life, he started to produce. But he said, stop. Keep your focus on me. Stuff comes and goes.
That's right.
It will rust. He said, but as long as you stay in with me, he said, this stuff will come.
That's right.
He said, don't put your life in it. It can't change it. He said, I'm the one changing it.
That's it.
I said, okay. I can handle that. I came today to tell y'all, we got good reason to be thankful.
Sir, thank you,
we got
Lord.
Something to be thankful in and something to be thankful on. And so giving thanks in all things. I even now had to be, there's some stuff I said, you know, I can play. What God did, that so and so didn't have to go through this. He said, what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? Do you believe me or don't you?
That's it.
Oh, I'm preaching to myself right now because he said, listen, I'm gonna come out of this. I'm believing God for a new season, a new life. Okay.
Harvest time.
I spent a lot of years of my life with just enough. I asked God for more than enough. But I didn't ask for me. I asked for all of you. That we will be a blessing. That harvest will be a blessing. I want harvest to bless the people of God.
That's right.
I want people to feel the love and the joy that God has and possess. Peace that passes all understanding. That's what I ain't got time to be evil to man and nobody.
That's right.
Okay? I got haters that don't know why. But I ain't taking no time to hate on nobody.
That's right.
Because I can go participate in that.
That's right.
Don't you ain't luring me in. You can, if that's your thing, God bless you. I was still smile. I was still struck. Oh God. He said, when you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. The God of peace will be with you. I wish I could say that I definitely tried to be a thankful person and I kept my eyes focused on Christ. As a pastor, I generally make a real effort to emulate the person I know Christ to be, and I know that I can fall short. But I try every day to walk like him, be with him, and to be an example, particularly for my young brothers and sisters. Listen, I was where you were at.
That's right.
I tell people that I think, you know, I remember them. Oh, yeah. So don't believe the lie and the hype and the hustle. Had all of that. Tell people all the time. One minute I was driving a BMW, hot red. And the next minute I was driving my son's BMX bike.
That's right.
Because I lost everything.
That's right.
And could have lost my mind.
That's right.
Somebody say, but God. He saved me out of all of that. Changed my life. And so today, I try to walk by emulating Christ. But I want to tell you, I believe faith is the greatest thing we can have. And believing in him. And he said, look, so that's my goal. We all do. But if I also know that when we practice these things, the God of peace is with us. As we all venture into the holiday season and it mixes in with sugary happiness plastered everywhere, I hope for all of you that something deeper will occur and that joy will take place. Happiness is in my view and is fleeting. Joy is more lasting. And so, I want you to get the joy of the Lord. So I know that people in what we would deem the worst circumstances that have excluded joy through it all. As we come to our Thanksgiving holiday, let us all find something to be thankful for. Something true, something honorable, something just, something pure, something lovely, something commendable, something excellent, and worthy of praise. Let's think about these things and give thanks for them. May the peace of God be with you all. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap.
Keep the stop there. Keep the stop there.
Hallelujah.